Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. November is Alzheimer's Awareness Month here in the United States. The Alzheimer's Association says that more than 5 million Americans are living with the disease. This week, we'll talk to one man who has helped some of those suffering with the disease regain some of their memories through music.
So it's a big win for the rest of someone's life if we take the effort to really spend the time to learn, what music do you love?
That's Dan Cohen, the director of Music and Memory, on this week's American Cafe. The Alzheimer's Association says that 5 million Americans are currently living with the disease. It is the sixth leading cause of death in the United States, and it costs the U.S. economy nearly $259 billion a year. And those numbers are expected to rise. One of the consequences of the deadly disease is memory loss. But this week, we're talking with a man who has helped restore some of those memories for people through music. Dan Cohen is the Executive Director of Music and Memory. He spoke to me from his offices in New York City. First of all, explain exactly what Music and Memory does and also what you hope to do with this program.
Sure. Music and Memory is a nonprofit organization that promotes the use of personalized music, sort of our favorite music, to help improve the lives of people with declining cognition or other physical conditions to improve quality of life, well-being, change mood, reduce drug use. There are a number of benefits when people are connected with their own music in different situations.
And this is not just music like you would just play the radio to people. This is specific music, like the music that they heard when they were teenagers, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if you just think about being at a party or a celebration of some sort, and the band or the DJ is playing, and you kind of wait for that song to come on that you really want to dance to. And it's kind of that thing, the songs that you love. And young people and many of us today, really with our music players, we only listen to the music we want to for the amount of time we want to, when we want to. But once you become older and you can't manage these devices anymore, and the whole thing is kind of, the system is kind of foreign to access music, if we can help them, then we can connect them with their favorite music in the same way. Let's give them sort of, what is your favorite music, what moves you, and we'll give it to you.
What are some of the results that you've seen? I watched the documentary Alive Inside about your organization, and it was phenomenal, the transformation in people. People who were struggling with dementia, people who were extremely Parkinsonian and isolated within themselves, all of a sudden were able to carry on a conversation. It's as if they had returned from some distant place.
So I think it does feel that they have returned, and in a sense they are, because they may have not articulated or spoken in 6 or 9 months, and then all of a sudden they're speaking. But it's a matter. But the brain was really always capable of that. You know, the music that we love is deeply stored. It's not affected by the ravages of dementia. And so sometimes people lose touch with that, or all of the people around that person think, oh, they're not capable of talking anymore, and they're not responding to my, hey, let's talk now kind of request. But when they hear music, that's somehow it that reaches to the emotional system. And our emotions, even with Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia, the emotional system is still very much intact, even though we might not even be able to recognize our own family member or speak. And so when we hear our own music, yes, we start speaking and waking up to that and becoming more social and interactive. And that's the big win here.
And that's a point I also wanted you to explore, is that the center of the brain, or the part of the brain where music and memory live, is different from what's known as the prefrontal cortex, the kind of the thinking part or the judgmental part of our brain that we use on a daily basis, or at least we hope we do. And so music has a unique ability to tap into memory as well, doesn't it?
So, yes, it's sort of a multi-part question. So before we had these functional MRIs and ability to do a brain scan, scientists had no idea how much the brain lit up in many of its parts. One part might be responding to memories and emotions of the music. Another part might get your foot tapping, the rhythm part. Another part is something else. And so many parts light up. You know, with our other senses, sight or smell, only a very small part of the brain lights up. And so they've done brain scans when someone's in, getting their brain scan while listening to their favorite music. And so they've seen what happens. And so in terms of memory, much of the music, when we hear a song sometimes from our youth, it's like it right away just brings us back. Oh, I remember this song and I was with my friends or our first kiss or whatever. And somehow when we're teenagers, the music somehow does an extra special bonding going on with our memories. We hold that the rest of our lives. And that's how, even if you're 90 and you hear a song from when you were 13, you'll remember it in a second.
What do you hope this program offers for people who either themselves or who have a family member struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's? What hope do you hope this offers to them?
Because this improves someone's mood, it improves their quality of life, they're enjoying their day more, just that everybody is aware and does this. So this Thanksgiving, when everybody is celebrating, and they may be thinking, oh, grandma, grandpa, oh, they have dementia. Oh, let's set up an iPod for them. Well, let's set up an MP3 player. Let's find out what their favorite music is. Not, oh, they like big grandpa likes big band, play just big band. No, it's really got to be specific. Just the way all of your listeners might think, if you were to say your own favorite genre of music, if somebody else were to make up your top 100 songs, would they guess them? No, they won't. That's what we've found. They won't. People around you don't know what you love. So it would really take asking you, and so we want to learn from our elders when they're able to tell us, what do you love? So then they can have the music now. I mean, my father-in-law, he was set up with his 200 favorite songs. He was home and healthy. Then he had a heart attack and hospital and his mind declined. And as he went through the healthcare system, he always had his favorite music with him, which made him a happy camper. Family around him loved that he was happy, and professional staff was dealing with a more sort of satisfied, cooperative patient. So it's a big win for the rest of someone's life if we take the effort to really spend the time to learn, what music do you love?
How can people help with this program and with the research? Are there people being volunteers coming forth, or do you need people who know of people who need this music and can help out?
So anybody can do this. I mean, also the musicandmemory.org website, anybody can download a free guide on how to set up a personalized playlist for your loved one.
That's Dan Cohen, the Executive Director of Music and Memory. If you'd like to see a documentary about his work, it's available. It's called Alive Inside. There you can see some of the remarkable transformations that his organization has helped achieve. We'd love to hear your opinion on this show. Log on to our Facebook page, VOA American Cafe. You can find other editions of our show at voanews.com. Until next time, I'm David Byrd in Washington.